Gary Meyer on the 50,000-watt dipped beef here at Portillo's on Dempster in Niles. Joining me here is a man who was a staple at WGN Radio for many years on the morning show, Larry Schreiner. Welcome, Larry. Now, if you're not familiar with Larry, he would call in to Wally Phillips' show, and Wally Phillips was the kingpin of morning radio and had ratings that none of us will never attain in this era. And you would call in about 7:30 and give all of the stories that happened overnight of
all the gloom and doom.
All the gloom and doom stories.
Yes, sir.
You would be out all night, and you'd get there before the police or the fire department usually, and you would cover the story.
Wish you wouldn't say that.
Somehow you knew.
Somehow I knew what happened.
Maybe you were actually orchestrating these, Larry, huh?
Yes, sir.
I think I'll stab
somebody. Statue of limitations is worn out.
All right. But the stories, it was odd because it was 7:30 in the morning, and you get on, Wally, the most gruesome thing happened. 15 people were stabbed at this restaurant. And you would go on and on, and he would go, yeah, that's great. That's terrific. And every morning you would do this, right?
But why can't you bring up the commercial that Bob Collins had me read about the French perfume?
I don't know what that is.
Well, either did he. Nobody could pronounce the word, and at the end of me trying to read it, the show ended just about.
Oh, yeah?
Because.
And do you have any recollection of that?
No, sir.
That helps me a lot. Thank you. I don't know what that was. I never heard that.
But it was one of the. We did some nice stuff too. We did things that were happening. Things that had happened, things that were going to happen, and Wally started me. Wally gave me my break. I was a beat policeman driving around in a blue and white squad car.
How long were you a policeman in Chicago?
20 years, sir.
20 years?
Yes, sir.
And then you gave up the police work to be a broadcaster? Is that how that worked?
That and videotape. I was the first videotape person, and now everybody in the audience has a camera and could put me out of business. But
when you did it, it was unique because you would go around and you would videotape these situations, then you'd sell your tape to the various TV stations.
To every station. It's called pool tape. It's a lot of people don't realize that when the President of the United States moves from point A to point B, He's covered by one crew. Every network has to take a turn, and they videotape whatever he does, and then they give copies, or else you'd have more video people. So it's called pool, P-O-O-L. It's called pool. I'll spell it well. It's called pool tape. So what I did was, I did the same thing, and it worked out very nicely. Except when you'd get a case like, for you older people, remember Lori Dan, and for you older people who remember one of the most wonderful people that ever worked in Chicago, Jim Gibbons, who was about a foot and a half taller than me, and he came up to me and he said, because you'd have four stations that each wanted the tape, they'd run it to the truck and they'd send it in. Well, when Gibby came up and said, give me the tape, you gave Gibby the tape.
Okay, and Lori Dan, if people don't know, this is a woman who went into a grammar school in Winnetka and started shooting.
Yes.
And killed one.
Killed one, ran down the block, ran into a house. The woman that was in the house ran out and ran up to me because I had heard the call, and I have a camera in my hand, and she says, help me. There's a lady in there with a gun. What was I going to do? I did a lot of praying. So the lady stayed. We finally did get her out. But
and then Lori killed herself in that house.
That I don't remember.
Yeah.
But Gibby was one of the we had a lot of great guys.
Now,
a lot of great guys.
Did you cover the Gacy situation? Was that part of you?
Gacy was my neighbor. I always brag and say I broke the John Gacy story. I broke it on a Thursday night about midnight, and we did it all Friday morning. I got a phone call from somebody in the neighborhood who said, I think you ought to get over to such and such. And my son, who's sitting next to me, and his brother, their babysitter lived on Summerdale. We lived on Catherine Avenue. So I would have to take the boys to the babysitter on Catherine, on Summerdale, take them there, and then pick them up. So I went past Gacy's house every day. So I broke, I'm always very proud, I say, I broke the John Wayne Gacy story, but then I say he was my neighbor.
But you didn't, did you know him at all?
I didn't know him. My one fear was I ran his license. I was a policeman. And he had a black Cadillac with a red and white spotlight. And in my neighborhood, I like to know who's driving around with a red and white spotlight. So I ran his license plate, and it was PDQ. I'm not going to give the last two numbers. But I was afraid at that time, computers weren't like they are now. All this stuff was done by hand. I was afraid that somebody would check and see if anybody ran his license plate. My name would pop up, and they would say, what did you know? Yes, I did break the story, but I have to say that I was a neighbor, and that gave me... I remember to this day the lady that lived next... I'm horrible with names. But the lady that lived next door to Gacy's name was Miss Lillian. And the reason I remember it was President Carter's wife, President Carter's mother was Miss Lillian. But yes, I did break the story and went down with Mark to state.
Mark is here with
Mark Schreiner.
Mark Schreiner. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Gary.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was fortunate enough, one of the first stories I covered as a reporter in college was Gacy's execution because Dad brought me with.
No,
you know, it was nice to just work a story with my dad like that.
Right, your father brought you to the execution?
We were there on business.
Let's not put it that way.
there was a pool.
We covered it. Yeah. And there was a, not a contest, but...
Drawing.
You put your name, yeah. There was a draw.
Like a lottery.
And Waldron Jacobson was heavier than me, so he went. And I used to say to Bob Collins, it's closure for me, because he was my neighbor. I saw the man. I felt that I had a feeling that it could have been one of my sons, although the boys that he went after were older than Matthew and Mark. It always bothered me that my sons lived within a couple blocks twice every day.
Larry was so famous in covering these stories that he actually had, I will assume you're going to confirm this, you had a roll of body bags in your trunk that you gave to the police. Well, they didn't have body bags. You said, I got a roll in the back of my trunk.
Bob would always say, would you want your daughter to go out with a guy that's got a body bag in the trunk? The reason I carried the original body bag was, in the videotape business, it's vicious. It is, and now I can just imagine it's worse. So there was a situation, and media wants certain things. And I wanted that body out of the scene. So I decided to, because my connections in the police department, I got a body bag. And I did carry it in the trunk, and it was used numerous times, and it cleaned up the scene. Any of you people that have been on any state expressway, when there's a fatality, you sit for 3 hours because the Illinois State Police, they just won't give up the scene. They keep the scene forever. It was like... Brown's Chicken was mine.
In Palatine, yeah.
In Palatine. They kept that scene for a month. And it all happened because of the Black Panther raid. Chicago police, well, it was the state's attorney's office. When they raided the Black Panther headquarters on West Monroe Street by Western, they gave up the scene too soon. and the Panthers came in and altered the scene, so it completely made it look different, and it made the police look very bad. And from that day on, you once you give up a crime scene, and don't believe this bologna sausage you see on...
Bologna sausage is not on the menu here at Portillo's. Larry, hang on. I got to take a break. We'll come back, and I think we have some tape of Larry, too, to give you, if you don't know what Larry did back in the day, a little flavor of that. This is WGN.
Well, I guess when you think you've heard everything, then you'll hear this story.
Okay. That was that. Okay, sponsored by Butterfly Body Liners. Larry, you have those? This is Leslie. A few more minutes with Larry Schweiner, who was part of the WGN radio team back in the day. He used to cover all the goings-ons on our streets of Chicago overnight and then report in on the morning show. And I was talking about how you had a roll of body bags in your car. I'll tell you what, if I knew you back then, I would have sponsored the body bag. Because what gets on camera more in this city than a body bag?
That's right.
That's good pub.
But I don't mean this to mean ghoulish, but...
Now it's Valentine's Day. What could go wrong?
Nothing that I was involved in with Bob or Wally was rehearsed. It was all spontaneous as it was going down. And once I thought for sure I was fired, Fire Commissioner Orozco's father had died, and we were at the luncheon afterwards, and he told me a joke. And he said, why don't you tell Collins this joke Monday morning? So I said, go ahead.
It isn't the one about girls' skirts getting shorter, is it?
No, sir, it isn't.
Okay, good. That one is...
So I went on the air after the report, and I said, Bob, for those of you that don't remember, Bob was the motorcycle nut. I mean, Christine had a bike. He had a bike.
Christine was his wife. You didn't cover his airplane crash, did you?
Unfortunately,
okay,
I had...
That's got to be pretty weird.
I had to tell her.
You did?
Yeah, I did not cover the story. Once I realized who it was, I called the newsroom and said, I'm out of the story. I had been at Bob's house many times, and I went into the house, and she was there with a lady, and I had the misfortune of telling her.
Yikes.
But having the background of being a police officer and having to do that, and working with fire service, having to do that, I don't want to say there's a knack to it. I mean, there's not class 101 how to tell. She knew. I called her on the phone. I said, Christine, go home. She says, why? I said, Christine, go home. And I think she put two and two together. But I said to him, going back to my firing.
Yeah, what was that joke? Can you tell it?
I said, Bob, my 625 report was over. I said, Bob, what's the difference between a Honda
and a rabbi?
No, wait a minute. No. What's the difference between a Honda and a Hoover? And he said, I don't know. What is? And I said, a Hoover only carries one dirt bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Schreiner. And his dirtbag jokes. I love that. Larry, it was a pleasure.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
WGN.